morning. Just bringing the Bible reading this morning. It's coming from Acts chapter 14 and verses 1 to 23. And it could be found on page 1093 on the church Bibles. Starting at verse 1. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and Jews, together with their leaders, to mistreat them and stone them. But they found out about it and fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the good news. In Lystra, there sat a man crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates, because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd, shouting, "Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all the nations go their own way. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy." Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God," they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust.
Pretty heavy section of the Bible, but how about we pray for God's help to help us understand what it's all talking about. So please pray with me now. Our Father God, Jesus was the ultimate missionary, leaving his position in heaven to come to earth to bring us the gospel. The gospel going out is truly unstoppable because ultimately you are the one spreading the gospel through us. Your plan is unstoppable. Father, we pray that you would help us to be inspired today as we look at Acts and see the gospel on tour. Let us learn why people respond the way they do when they hear the gospel, and show us just how powerful and unstoppable it really is. Be growing our courage and boldness during this talk so that we too may take your gospel on tour in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when you woke up this morning, what was the first thought about the weather? Did you get up and think, I love this weather? Or did you get up and think, I hate this weather? See, do you ever find yourself making comments like this throughout the day? The weather seems to be such a popular topic of our conversation. But it seems like we can never all really feel the same about the weather. See, it seems no matter what the weather's doing, people either love it or hate it. For example, if it's hot, some will love it, while some will hate it. If it's cold, some will love it, while some people hate it. If it's sunny, some people love it, while some people hate it. And if it's rainy, some people love it, while some people hate it. See, it seems like no matter what the weather's doing, some people love it and some people hate it. But it seems there's one exception, doesn't there? Everyone hates the rain, don't they? At the moment, anyway. I mean, how much rain can this place take? It's been raining so much lately. It's hard not to hate it. But you still know there's one guy that doesn't. There's one guy that still loves it. And that guy is a teenage schoolboy. See, he loves it because if it rains enough, his school will get flooded, and that means he gets a couple of days off. Well, that seems like a good excuse to him, but I feel sorry for all the other people that have to get flooded out for that to happen. But the simple fact is, we all know we can't control the weather. See, we might love it, we might hate it, it's irrelevant because we can't stop it. Sure, you can plan around the weather, you can stay up to date with the weather forecast, but you can't stop it. You can't control it. The weather does what the weather wants. And this is the same with the gospel message. So just like the weather, people love it or people hate it. This is to be expected. But just like the weather, nothing can stop it. And that's what you're going to see today. See, when the gospel goes on tour, people either love it or hate it, but nothing can stop it. Well, today we continue on in Acts and we're going on the road. See, over the last few weeks, we've covered a fair bit of ground. We saw that Jesus left his disciples with a message and a command. The gospel was a message, and to make disciples of all nations was a command. But it's only early days, and so far the gospel hasn't gone far. It's still mainly with the Jews. But last week we've seen some progress. Last week we heard that there's no more us and them. And this point's important, because God showed there's no favoritism, and he showed that the gospel's for all people, Jew and Gentile alike. So this week is very exciting because we're going on the road and we're going to see the gospel start touring the Gentile areas. So the reason this is important is because the gospel has to go out to the Gentiles. It has to reach all nations. And Paul was given this task to do. See, it's been about 14 years since his conversion. But do you remember the task he was given by God? Let me remind you, it's from Acts 9:15-16. It says, "But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, this man,'" talking about Paul, "'is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.'" You see, the reason this is important is because Paul is God's chosen instrument to take the gospel out to the Gentiles. So this is the starting point that leads to it going out, which eventually leads to it coming to Australia and to you all believing, those of you who love it anyway. So this is important. But did you hear verse 16? God said, "I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." What's that all about? Well, you're going to see. And you're going to see just how popular or unpopular this message was, if people love it or if people hate it. You're going to see why people would hate such good news. Well, let's kick off with looking at the gospel on tour and its responses. Look down at Acts chapter 13. It would have taken a bit too long to read all this, but I just want to mention a couple of points from Acts 13. So let's get the tour started. Look down at Acts 13, verse 13. It says, "From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. From Perga, they went on to Pisidian Antioch." So we come on to the scene with Paul and his companions on the road. They've left Paphos, they've sailed to Perga, and now they've landed in Pisidian Antioch. And Antioch's going to be the first stop on the gospel tour. And he's in a synagogue, and when he has the opportunity to speak, he tells them the gospel. This is what it goes on to say. Let me point it out in verse 38. In verse 38, he says, "Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified from by the law of Moses." Well, there's two key elements to this gospel. The first, the forgiveness of sins through Jesus. The second, justification through Jesus. That's the good news. That's the gospel, and that's what he wants to tell them. So let's look at their responses. First, let's look at the love response. Because remember, it seems that people either love it or hate it. Look at verse 43. Verse 43, it says, "When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them more and urged them to continue in the grace of God." Many of them followed Paul and Barnabas, and they loved it. And then a week later, they come back and told them more, explaining that salvation was now open to the Gentiles too. And look how they respond in verse 48. Verse 48, it says, "When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed." All who were appointed for eternal life believed. Do you think of yourself as someone who was appointed for eternal life? Well, let me ask you, do you love the gospel? If the answer is yes, then you were appointed. Because it's God who picks people to love him. He is the one to give us the response of loving the gospel. See, they love the gospel because they know they're sinners. They know they need forgiveness, and because they know they are guilty before God and need justification. So this loving response, it could only come through God working in someone's heart, because God is the one to break someone's self-righteousness, someone's pride and arrogance, and show them their need for Jesus. But what about the others, those who hate it? Look at the next verse, verse 49. Verse 49 says, "The word of the Lord spread through the whole region, but the Jews incited God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region." Persecution, being expelled, these are pretty hateful responses. This is the first example of seeing that people either love it or hate it. But why would someone hate the gospel? Isn't it good news? Well, there are a number of different reasons, but I'm just going to mention one that I think is most prevalent today. See, what is the gospel? The gospel is a message telling someone that they can have forgiveness of sin and justification through Jesus. But what really is it? What really is it? It's really a message that implies that we are sinners. It's really a message that charges us with guilt before God. It says we are sinners. We are guilty before God. But it also shows us that through Jesus, and only through Jesus, we can have sure hope of salvation. So for those who don't think they're sinners, for those who don't think they're guilty, Can you see why they would hate this message? Can you see why this would offend them? Have you ever had someone respond to you in this way? Are you telling me I'm not right? Are you telling me I need forgiveness? Who are you? Don't you dare judge me. I'm sure you've heard something like this. And can we really expect anything less? I mean, the message we bring is offensive, isn't it? Well, it should be anyway. It totally attacks someone's pride, ego, arrogance, and their general idea that they are good people. And that's what it should do, because salvation is only through Jesus. Well, let's get back on tour. As we see the gospel go out other places, we'll see some more responses of people either loving it or hating it. Let's look at Iconium. Look with me at chapter 14, verse 1. Chapter 14, verse 1, it says, "At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went, as usual, into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed." So they've arrived in Iconium and spoken, and more people have believed. A great number believed. A great number loved it. But what about verse 2? Verse 2, it says, "But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers." And also verse 5. "There was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and Jews, together with their leaders, to mistreat them and stone them." So here we have some people who refused to believe. They didn't even contemplate it. They refused. And they made plans to kill them. It sounds volatile, irrational, and hate-filled. Well, the gospel has toured Iconium as well, and the people either loved it or hate it. Well, the next stop on the tour is Lystra. Have a look with me at verse 8. Verse 8 of chapter 14. It says, "In Lystra there sat a man crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking, presumably the gospel. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, 'Stand up on your feet.' At that, the man jumped up and began to walk." It's a miracle. After speaking, Paul performed a miracle in getting the man to walk. Well, as you heard before in the Bible reading, after the people saw this miracle, they thought they must be gods. They must have never seen something like this before, the power of God in this miracle. Imagine people thinking you're a god. It's pretty strange. So Paul goes on to bring them the truth. He says in verse 15, "Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you. We are bringing you the good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them." Paul says, turn from these worthless things. They will not bring forgiveness. They will not bring justification. Turn to the living God. He is where you find these things. And how does this tour come to an end? Have a look at verse 19. Verse 19 says, "Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium." They came from the other cities they'd been in, "and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead." See, the hate of the people from these other cities was so strong that they actually came and convinced the crowd of the city to stone Paul to death. But did he die? No. And the tour continued. When the gospel went on tour, people either loved it or hated it. But nothing can stop it. There was one other place it toured before it went home, and that was Derby. Look at the second half of verse 20. Second half of verse 20 says, "The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derby. They preached the good news in that city and won over a large number of disciples. Well, we're not given heaps of information about what happened in Derby, but from what was said, it seems like the people loved it, and many became disciples. Well, there's a tour. There's a big picture of the tour, with Derby being the last stop. It's gone out touring city to city, dividing people, love, hate. Well, what's next? Well, now's the time for the tour to do the big loop, the big boomerang. It's gone back to the cities it came from. And the fact is, you've got to ask, why would they be going back to these cities? Why would they do that? Aren't they scared? Why would they walk back into danger? Well, to see why, let's look at verse 21 to 23. Have a look at 21b, the second half of 21. It says, Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, with prayer and fasting, committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. Well, see, the reason they've gone back is because wherever they've gone, yes, people may have hated it, but people also loved it. And there are disciples in each of these cities. This is their motivation to return, to strengthen and encourage the disciples and to help churches be established. This is the reason the gospel is unstoppable, because everywhere it is taken, some people will hate it, but lots of people will love it. And we need to be willing to go through hardships for it, because the people who hear it in this story are. Well, it's not that the people sharing the gospel are unstoppable. It's not about them. They can die or be killed or whatever. It's the gospel itself that is unstoppable. The message keeps spreading, and the people keep loving it and spreading it more. So yes, these Christians are in a tough environment, but Paul is going back to them to strengthen and encourage them. And what's he going to use to do that in such a hostile environment? In verse 22, look what he says. He says, "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God," they said. Well, these new churches, they're in hostile environments, and they need encouragement. They actually need to be told that they must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. You'd think this would be pretty obvious. I mean, they just saw what happened to Paul and the unbelievers in their cities. Wouldn't it be obvious that they must go through hardships? But the thing I want to suggest to you all is that rather than stating the obvious, Paul is more strengthening and encouraging them to expect hardship. He was justifying hardship. As in, he was saying, nothing is wrong if you go through hardships. God hasn't left you. God is not punishing you. Nothing like that. You can expect hardships, and actually everyone must expect hardships, because it's part of entering the kingdom of God. And we need this same encouragement. We will go through hardships. You will individually, and we will as a church. The thing we've got to remember is when they tour the gospel, we need to expect and be ready for people to hate it. So when we tour it, we've got to expect this too. We might not get stoned or expelled from Lismore, but there are hostile people and hostile responses. So instead of thinking something's gone wrong, remember it's all part of God's plan. People either love it or hate it. But we love it, don't we? And if God's worked in our hearts, he's made us love it. He can also do it in the other people's hearts and make them love it. Other people will love this message when we share it with them. Well, don't let those who hate it scare us out of sharing it with others. Because if we don't share it, how are people going to have the option of loving it? So don't be scared and not share it at all. But I can't finish this talk without mentioning the ultimate missionary, the ultimate gospel tourer, the man who literally was the gospel tourer, Jesus himself. He is the one who left perfect comfort, safety, security, peace in heaven to enter a hostile, violent, rebellious world. Why? Because God so loved the world. Because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He did it to bring salvation for all those who would believe, those God has appointed to eternal life, those God picked to believe and love the gospel, the same as he appointed the Gentiles in Antioch. That's why he sent Jesus, the sinless one who died for us sinful people at the hands of hateful people, which was all of us. The innocent one died for the guilty, for the forgiveness of sins and justification. This is the great message we have. It's unstoppable because it's his message. The church is his body to spread the gospel throughout the world and make disciples in every nation. This is the gospel we love. So to wrap it up, let me ask, do you take this gospel on tour? See, we as people, we as Southern Cross, we as a church, we are the ones who tour this gospel today. Paul is dead, but Christ's body is alive. We are his body together. So are you touring the gospel in your life and in the life of your small group and gospel community? Are you ready to share the gospel, knowing and expecting that people will either love it or hate it, but also knowing that nothing can stop it? See, what is the mission of church? Listen to how Kevin DeYoung puts it in an article on Desiring God website. He says, the mission of the church is to go into the world and make disciples by declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, gathering these disciples into churches that they may worship and obey Jesus now and into eternity to the glory of God the Father. According to DeYoung, the mission of the church is to declare the gospel to make disciples, then for these disciples to gather in churches, who then go out again and declare the gospel to make more disciples, to gather in more churches. Can you see how this is unstoppable? We are God's church, his chosen instrument to declare and spread this gospel in the world by his Holy Spirit. It will work through us to achieve this goal, the gospel unstoppable. So let's all take and keep taking the gospel out and sharing it. We can expect some will hate it, but that doesn't stop us because we also expect that some will love it. But irrelevant of if people love it or hate it, nothing can stop it because this is God's gospel, the gospel unstoppable. Please pray with me now. Our powerful Heavenly Father, you sent your Son knowing he would die, and he did die. But he brought with him the gospel of grace. He toured the world. And now through his death and resurrection, we can have forgiveness of sin and be justified. This is the glorious message, the gospel. We are so thankful that you have opened our hearts to love the gospel when it toured in our lives. We are so thankful that it is unstoppable and it even reached us in Lismore, Australia. We know that you call us to continue this gospel tour. It's not finished. We are sorry for the way we often neglect it out of fear and laziness. Please help us take the gospel on tour in our individual lives and our lives as small groups and gospel communities. We need you to strengthen and encourage us along the way to go through hardships. We know these are a normal part of the Christian life. Jesus showed us this by dying on the cross, and he calls us to take up our cross and serve him no matter what the cost. Let us boldly and courageously share the gospel with those near and far, knowing that you have appointed some to love and accept this gospel, and to not fear those who hate it, but let us remember that some will love it and motivate us to take it out to them. People will either love it or hate it, but nothing can stop it. Your gospel is unstoppable. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.